As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Keep ever before us the magnificence of your grace and mercy. Your desire is to bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. And you have sanctified us to be your people under divine guidance and care. Our hearts will always be restless until they find their home in you. Enable us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to your will. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Most of us now have cell phones. How many people have a cell phone? Everybody? Pretty much? How many people still have landlines? Okay. And I think that most of us have some type of digital cable TV, right? Or maybe you have a satellite dish. Lucky you. And when, with all these systems that we have, these communication systems, we can purchase different plans. We can buy a plan. I have one on my cell phone. I have unlimited text and messages and long distance all across Canada, except if I text my brother in the U.S., it's $1.25 a text. And we have choices, right? You can bundle everything. Or you can. Have you ever tried to look at bundling and then looked at what you get in the bundle? It's a little confusing. But we can have plan A, or we can choose plan B, or we can choose plan C. The point is that we can decide what we want, how we want it, what we want to pay. We make the decision as to which plan we can afford or which plan works best in our lives. We don't have to pray about it. You may pray about it. We probably don't have to ask the Holy Spirit whether that plan is okay for us. There's really not a lot of vision involved in our final choice. In our Bible stories over the past couple of weeks, we've met two women who could have chosen plan A, plan B, or even plan C. We have Ruth last week, who was an ordinary person, a widow, and a devoted daughter-in-law. She was able to put aside her personal agenda for the well-being of others. She could have chosen Naomi's plan, that she return to her homeland, marry again, and live as usual, but Ruth chooses God's plan for her. Now, I'm not too sure that she was consciously aware that she was part of God's plan, but the choice she made that faithful day ensured that she would be used by God in the line of the Messiah. So she becomes part of the overall plan God had for his people since the beginning of time. And also last week, the gospel reading from Mark has a poor widow giving her last two coins at the temple. And Jesus uses her to illustrate what true sacrifice looks like. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. She put everything she had to live in. The nameless widow could have chosen to give only half of what she had. She could have chosen plan B, but she didn't. An ordinary person demonstrating trust and obedience to the Lord, even when it goes against common sense. The temple didn't need the money, that's for sure. And this nameless woman didn't bargain with God. There were no strings attached. She gave all she had, and she leaves the stage. And today, we look at Hannah, the mother of the great Old Testament prophet Samuel, an ordinary person whose life would prove to be extraordinary. And her life becomes part of God's big picture, God's plan for the unfolding of the kingdom. And Hannah found herself happily married, but unable to have children. And from the text, it sounds like her home life was pretty miserable. She had become the object of ridicule from her husband's second wife, who used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And every year, year after year, She goes to the house of the Lord to pray and ask God to give her a child. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking she might be starting to wonder whether God heard her prayers and her request became a giving of herself. And waiting on God for answer to our prayers is one of, I think, most difficult aspects of faith. Everybody must face a time of waiting. It's not a question of if it will happen. It's a question of when. And there are so many scriptures that talk to us about waiting, so we know we will be called upon to wait. How well we wait. Will we wait with bitterness or anger or discouragement or fear? Or will we wait with the eager anticipation of what God's going to do next? God has promised to take care of us and to meet our needs and wants only the best for us, and always has our best interests at heart. Waiting time is not wasted time. Waiting time is not wasted time. It always, always serves a purpose. So it was with Hannah. It took several years for Hannah to see the answer to a heartfelt prayer for a child. And she did make a bargain. She said, if you give me a child, what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to the Lord. She was prepared to give her child to God so that God could use that child for God's purpose. She didn't say, Lord, give me a son so I can flaunt him in front of that horrible woman who makes my life a misery every day. And Lord, while you're at it, could you strike her dead and all her children? And that would be something actually that would come up in the Old Testament. She unselfishly makes a pledge, and she prays, Lord, if you will, I will. If you give me a child, I will give him to you for your service. And she makes this vow, not understanding what it would look like in God's plan. It was her faith that encouraged patience to wait upon the Lord and gratitude that enabled her to dedicate her son to God's service. After her prayer and a blessing from the priest, who, by the way, accused her of being drunk, she went to her quarters and ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. The very foundation of Christian discipleship rests on faith and an attitude of gratitude. Faith and gratitude that Jesus is Lord and God is in control. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's from Hebrews. Hannah did not understand the implications involved in her prayers to God. She didn't say, I only believe what I understand. Believing what we only understand is not faith. It is philosophy. The Lord remembered her, and in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked of the Lord. And Samuel was to be an important prophet for the Lord. He would be a leader among the Hebrews and was responsible for anointing both Saul and King David. Ruth, Hannah, the nameless widow, and Samuel were part of God's plan, God's divine vision for all of humanity. See, God only has one plan: transformation and conversion of our lives. God doesn't have a plan B. Jesus didn't have a plan B when he went to the cross. There has only been one prime divine directive for God's creation. And through the cross, we have been set free from power and the slavery of self-interest, self-importance, and self-righteousness. I love this line from Ephesians. Before he made the earth, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Faith and gratitude know that Christ presents us faultless before the throne of God, inexpressibly pure, absolutely righteous, and profoundly justified. Discipleship is not about earning and deserving. It is about acceptance and receiving. God calls us to step out in faith, in trust, obedience, and with gratitude. And like Ruth, the nameless woman, and Hannah, we may not understand at this very moment, but God will reveal as it is necessary. The kindness of God prevents us from spiritual pride, from taking any credit. The purpose of our lives and this community of faith is knowing we are saved and living out of that truth. That God is using us for his great personal perspective, and all that is asked of us is that we trust in God's ultimate plan. It is acceptance and receiving that we are assured that faith in God's purpose, trust in God's plan, and gratitude for God's vision is as natural as breathing. And you know, when we stand in front of the Lord, I think we'll be staggered to think how foolish we have been in not trusting Him always. Let us pray. Lord, you lead us by ways we do not know, through joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, beyond our understanding. Give us faith, the gift of faith, to see your guiding hand in all things, that being neither lifted up or by seeming success or cast down by seeming failure, we may press forward where you will lead, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.